Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me, joining us in the middle of this week where we're going verse by verse. We read a pretty big chunk of Revelation chapter 1. We're going to dive back in it today. But again, as we've been saying every morning, as we've been saying for the last couple weeks, our goal is to fix our eyes on Jesus. And you know, this morning when I was in prayer, I was just sitting there and I was like, all of a sudden I was getting agitated because I felt like there was something I had to like figure out. I was like, okay, I feel like there's something I have to figure out. There's something I have to do, because my brain was kind of just empty. You know, I wasn't having like all these crazy thoughts going through it all the time. I've heard from like my brothers or like my guy friends that sometimes that's like how guys' brains are, that sometimes there's just like not a million things going on. And it, honestly, it was really nice. So if I could have that more often, that would be nice. Like if I asked my brother, what is he thinking about? And he's like, nothing. He's really thinking about nothing. So I felt like I was like needed to be thinking more seriously about something. And the Lord was like, no, like you don't need to process anything. You don't need to figure anything out. You don't need to make anything happen. You just need to be with me. And you need to look at me. You don't need to be having a certain conversation. You don't need to be trying your hardest in this moment to become holier, all of this different kind of stuff. But you really need to just sit and you need to be with me. And you need to let me love you. And you need to love me in return. And it doesn't have to be this huge thing. And so even as we just sit with what the Lord's speaking to us in this word, to actually just allow it to marinate, to actually just allow it to sit on our hearts and on our minds and not have to do something. Like there's a way, friends, that the Lord just wants you to receive more of him, wants you to just be with him, wants you to just be permeated by him and not have to produce, not have to read this word and be like working at it so hard of saying, how do I get this in my heart? How do I be convicted by this? Let's go. And I know that I'm really intense and respond to the word intensely, but there's a difference between, I think, being intense and somehow sometimes when I'm reading something or I'm praying, I'm just like, let's go. Ooh, like, I got to get this. And the Lord's like, you don't have to be the best. Not everything has to be like, oh, I'm the best. Like, just sit and be with me and receive me. And so even as we just spend the next 10, 11 minutes together, just to receive from the Lord, just to like let your mind and your heart come down and say, oh, what's intriguing me about what I'm hearing? What's poking at me about what I'm hearing? And don't try to make anything happen. Just allow God's word to touch your heart and allow something to grab you and then take that and look at it and say, Lord, reveal yourself in this word. Look at it. So let's go ahead and let's pray. And then we're going to go back and we're going to read a big chunk of the word again. And we're going to see what the Lord is saying. So join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just help us to just let our guards down right now. That even as we read this word, this is not something that we have to do. This is not something that we have to grasp at. This is not something that we have to strive for. We just have to be. We have to be with you. We have to be allowing you to work in our hearts and our minds. And I just ask that if there's anything blocking us from being able to allow you to speak, to allow you to work, that you would remove it right now. Give us a spirit of rest, not of productivity. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So yesterday we were talking about Jesus having this dominion and authority. And do we really believe that? And can we be held secure in that reality of Jesus' authority and Jesus' dominion and power? So I'm going to start there again at verse 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Everyone who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe with a golden girdle round his breast. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Amen. So where we left off yesterday, he was saying, he has made us a kingdom of priests, and to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And then John says this, which again, I love. This should always be included in our gospel proclamation. Behold, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. All the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. It's so beautiful, and I want to break that down. And I think it's so beautiful for first this reason of John. John was with Jesus. John was young when he was with Jesus. And when Jesus died and rose again and then went back to ascended to the Father, he said, I'm going to come back. They were waiting with bated breath. Like they literally thought he was going to come back tomorrow. They were like, when is he coming back? We're preparing for him. We're preparing for him. And now John is in his 80s. It's probably been 60 years. And he's waiting 60 years for Jesus to come back when he thought he was going to come back tomorrow. And he could say, Jesus, I've been waiting for you. He said he was going to come back. He said to prepare for him to come back. I've been waiting for him in that time. All my friends have gotten killed. I've been beaten. I've been scourged. I've been exiled. I'm not going to die on this remote island. Has anyone ever seen The Count of Monte Cristo? There's like that old version with Jim Caviezel, and then they also just did a new version. And where he's imprisoned is like that giant rock place, like literally in the middle of the ocean. That's what I'm envisioning. And John growing like a really long beard, like I forget the main character's name, but the person who becomes the Count of Monte Cristo. Like that's where I imagine John being, just surrounded by water. And he could be like, Lord, I waited for you. I waited 60 years for you. Does this sound familiar in any of our lives? I waited for you to come through on this. I waited for you to come through on that. And is he doing that? No, he's still waiting in hope. And he's saying he hasn't returned yet. But behold, he is coming. John's saying, I'm the one who's saying he is coming. It's part of my job as the one who proclaims. This is part of our jobs as Christians, as one who proclaims to say, this is what Jesus has done for us. And he's coming. He's coming. And I love this. He says, when he comes, this beautiful image, every eye will see him. He's coming on the clouds. And we're going to get to this as we read one like the Son of Man, but that harkens back to the vision of Daniel. Daniel's vision that one like a Son of Man is coming on the clouds of heaven. It's this majestic royal image. Behold, look, see him. He's going to come on the clouds. And when he does, every eye, every king of the earth, every servant, everyone who's in high places, everyone who's in lowly places, everyone on the face of the earth, every single eye will look at him. Every eye will see him. And he says, everyone who pierced him, everyone who pierced him will see him. This is hearkening back to different places in scripture when it says they will look upon him who they've pierced. They will look upon him whom they've pierced. It's back in Isaiah. It's back in the prophecies. They will look upon Jesus whom they have pierced. And so he's saying he's going to come back. Every eye will see him, and they will see the one whom he has pierced. There's a prophetic origin in the New Testament that they will see him and they'll say, that's the one whom we killed. That's the one with the nail-scarred hands. In Zechariah 12:10, the one whom they have pierced. They will have true repentance. There will be bitter and grief over past blindness. There'll be sorrow that will lead to salvation. There will be terror because they realize the judgment day is here. There will be shaking and fear of the King. This is now the vindication of our God, that Jesus, there's a song that I love, and it says, he who is to come, Christ the Son of Man, riding on the clouds with nails, every eye will see him, with the nail scars in his hands. They'll see him and they'll say, that's the one that was crucified. That's the one whom our sins put to death, and they will look upon him. And I love that it says, all the tribes of the earth, they will wail on account of him. Some will wail in relief, saying, he's here, he's here. He's finally come. He's come to deliver us. He's come to take us home. They'll wail with relief, saying, he's here for us. And some will wail with terror, because they're afraid of God's judgment, because they know they haven't been living the life they need to. They know that they rejected God. They will wail on behalf of their sins, but not over sorrow, out of terror. And then they will be wailing with bitter grief over their past blindness, saying, I wish that I hadn't sinned. I wish that I hadn't done this. I wish that I hadn't done that, because now I see the one whom my sins have pierced. And I think some of us will have excitement, but I think all of us will have some, that sense of grief of looking at him whom we have pierced. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. That when everybody sees him, when our eyes are fixed on him, when the hidden King becomes visible, when there's no more doubt or denial, when every knee must bow, our hearts have no choice but to respond. We'll have no choice but to cry out in fear or in terror or in glory. Our hearts will cry for him. And he says, he'll say this when he comes down on the cloud, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is God. And there's a way that reading this, folks, can actually come in and, in the power of the Holy Spirit, restore to us some of the fear of the Lord, that the one who is coming again. And there's a way that we should be afraid of him. He is the Lord. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Time stands in his hands. He has all dominion and authority and power, and he is coming on the clouds, and every eye shall see him. The one whom humanity has pierced, he is coming for recompense. He is coming for purification. He is coming for judgment. He is coming for vindication on behalf of his Father. And he's not vindictive. He's not mean. He's not nasty. But he has to bring upon justice to those who have sinned against him and not repented. Join us again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.